Welcome to the Babbelry,
where translators visit the Tower of Babel.
The Tower of Babel.
The Tower of Babel.
Babel.
Babbelry. Feeling guilty about feeling good and the exquisite control of destruction. I'm feeling guilty about feeling good. The other day we had a beautiful day here in coastal California. You might be surprised that we haven't had much warmth here lately. Since the climate has been warming, parts of coastal California have experienced the opposite of what most of the rest of you have experienced. Because of the marine layer, when it gets hot in inland California, we get more fog and cold on the coast. And here on the foggy central coast, where high heat is unusual at any time during the year, for the last couple of years, we've hardly had any summer weather. Spring this year came with rain, which it does sometimes in these La Niña years. During the time when it has been warming and blooming everywhere else, we were having rain and cold. And then finally, we had a little sun. Enter the good, enter the guilt. On the first day of warmth and sunshine, I went out onto our back deck. Thrilled with the beauty, I stood there in the sun, arms outstretched, just basking in it. But then I felt a little guilty. I have been trying not to revel in the effects of climate change, so I start to feel grumpy when I find myself enjoying warmth. But here in a place where it has been so long since the last sunny and warm day, I simply had to. That's when a phrase popped into my head, feeling guilty about feeling good. And I realized that those of us who care to believe in science and are paying attention to reality have a particular internal struggle. And that struggle is how to balance the good with the guilt. Each of us needs to figure out how to balance these feelings. On the one hand, we have to love what is good in this world. We have to continue appreciating beauty, appreciating comfort, seeking comfort, all of which allows us to be effective in our work and our relationships. Although my work isn't directly related to climate change, I do think about it on a very personal level. I make choices that are directly in response to the question, how does this affect my carbon footprint? I've seen the chatter about how that phrase is so 2010 and we should be focusing our attention on bigger issues like policy. But each of us is making footprints on this world, and each one of us has some level of choice as to where and how deeply to step. As we make these choices, I believe we also must make the choice to take joy in everything that has given humans joy since the beginning of time. The beauty of a lovely sunny afternoon, the birds chirping. Of course, we could focus on the negative, but if we can't find joy, there's no point. The only point to fighting for change in how we live is believing that there's a future, as well as believing that the future is important, especially for younger people. My adult children are in their 20s, and I care about their future. Thus, I must find joy. But then, there's the beauty of creeping disaster. I was thinking about this topic while walking, and I came across the tree that is in the picture above. You might think that this is a rare new species. Let's name it the fragrant flowered redwood. Or perhaps not. It is a redwood tree hosting a massive wisteria vine, and it is extraordinarily beautiful. The sight is amazing and wonderful, and at the same time dreadful, because a redwood can't withstand being covered with a vine like that. By the way, if you are listening to this on the Babbelry podcast, you can check out my Substack, babbelry.substack.com, to see the picture. I know this because in our redwood forest, Cape ivy, which looks lovely on buildings in Oxford, is filling the forest and choking out most of the native ground cover, fern and redwood sorrel. It's also choking the redwood trees. But this is a beautiful spectacle. A few years ago, one of our neighbors had a similarly extraordinary flowering redwood tree, in this case a red trumpet vine covering the entire tree. And I was in a quandary because every time I walked by that tree, I would think, oh, that is so glorious, at the same time as, that is so totally going to kill their tree. It was a beautiful spectacle, a spectacle that humans created. The dramatic red flowers drooping way up high on a tree reminded me of fireworks. There's this elemental beauty to fireworks, that we have taken fire captive, and that we have controlled it, and we are creating this spectacle of light and sound and smell. We have intentionally and unintentionally created these beautiful spectacles because of our dominance over nature, which is an extraordinary aspect of our species. The extraordinary beauty and strangeness that we create by harnessing nature and the elements is truly wonderful, but at the same time, we've created a disaster of proportions I don't think many of us, including me, have expansive enough brains to truly comprehend. When I think about the waves of reactions to climate change that are already in motion that we can't even see, it astounds me. I call this the exquisite control of destruction. I believe that our exquisite control of destruction has led humans to believe that we know how to control all the destruction we wreak. We subconsciously believe that everything is like fireworks, carefully planned and assembled. When we watch fireworks, we can experience pure joy at the human capacity to make beauty from violence. But when it comes to climate change, our belief in that exquisite control leads to hubris. I've been thinking lately of immigration. We have more refugees wandering this planet looking for a new home than ever before. We have political parties using various tactics to protect their own countries. But is anyone paying attention to the way climate change already exacerbates this issue and will eventually lead it to a breaking point? All the walls we put up, whether procedural or physical, are like earthen levees against a tidal wave. As the hottest places on Earth become unlivable, the people in those places will take to the road and look for a new home. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum spoke about how the U.S. has been allowing illegal arms transfers into Mexico, where they have strong gun control. Large portions of Mexico are already hot and will become unlivable within a generation. So not only are we going to be overrun by people who are desperate to be alive, which, frankly, we all are, but we're going to be overrun with people that we have armed. And here we are, reveling in the hubris. Right now, the United States is under one-party control at the federal level, and that party has chosen only to listen to the good feeling, not to feel the guilt. They've told us that liberals have made us feel bad about ourselves and that instead we should be feeling great. I don't disagree with them on the point that we should be feeling great, though their definition of great is dominant while mine is joyful. But I do disagree that we shouldn't also focus on the negative, because focusing on greatness has literally led to a complete lack of policy in the areas where we so desperately need policy and planning. I see a connection between this lack of policy and planning to what in my hometown we referred to as Sunday Christians, people who talk a good game when it comes to Christianity, but pick and choose which parts of it they'll really implement in their lives. And most of what they avoided in Christianity were the parts that made them feel bad about themselves, the parts that made them feel guilty that they weren't following the scriptures. We've got a whole capital full of Sunday Christians in power now, fully in power. They've got the Supreme Court, they've got the House, they've got the Senate, they've got the White House. They are not making policy because they are not listening to the guilty side, that side that nags them to fix things. They're only listening for the pleasure, and that's not healthy. It's not healthy for an individual, it's not healthy for a community, it's not healthy for a government. We are not doing enough good. We are not doing well enough. We've always got to make room for that voice that tells us that we are not doing enough good and that we're not doing well enough. How we balance the good and the guilty brings me back to standing in the sunshine on the deck, savoring the beautiful afternoon next to the redwoods, with the birds chirping and the slight breeze in the trees. I reveled in that idyllic scene. But I also kept room for remembering that we need to be aware of the work we have to do to keep this world habitable and safe for all of us, the work that will allow people to stay in the country they love. We need to hold in one hand the good and enjoy the fruits of human invention, enjoy nature, enjoy human innovation. And in the other hand, we need to nurture that bad feeling, that feeling of guilt, that feeling that makes us act. It's got to be there. We can't stop listening to it. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Babblery.
The Babblery is produced with support from KSQD Radio in Santa Cruz, California.
Find us on major podcast platforms or at babblery.com.